Hello, it's Mike Matthews, the host of the longest-running self-produced daily podcast on planet Earth by a guy named Mike in the land of Maritopka, and I'm singing a song. No, I'm not singing a song. I'm just sort of starting the podcast. This is Mike's daily podcast, broadcasting from Cafe Anyway in the land of Maritopka. It's FF episode 3176. Well, 3176, did you know that Cracker Barrel finally got rid of their advertiser firm? Yes, it just goes to show that these wonderful folks all dressed up in their nice business suits who say, we know the direction, we know what's going to do it, we know corporate America, we know the direction to make this company turn a profit and bring in revenue. They sometimes haven't flipping clue. Cracker Barrel has cut ties with the design firm that created its controversial new logo and redesigned restaurants. This from CNN. The restaurant chain started implementing the changes, but quickly reversed course following online backlash, including a comment from Donald Trump. The company confirmed the split last week at a press release announcing that it's ending its engagement with Profit. Yes, Profit, not like underwear gnomes. Collect underwear. Step two. Step three, Profit. The design agency that Cracker Barrel hired just 7 months ago to help refresh its brand is Profit, like the prophet in the Bible, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Cracker Barrel unveiled a new logo not that long ago. It was in August when all this hubbub happened. Created by a San Francisco-based firm. Yes, someone here in the Bay Area. And you know they probably went with it because, hey, we got these smart California guys that are all tech bros and they can help us out and help us appeal to families everywhere and we'll look all modern and cool. Well, they ditched the iconic man that they used to have in the logo in overalls. I think his name was Bill or Pete or Bo or Bubba. And got rid of him in the overalls and the barrel for a streamlined design. Just the same colors, but just the words, Cracker Barrel. They got it all streamlined, and the new logo featured an outline that the company said was, quote, rooted even more closely to the iconic barrel shape and word mark that started it all, they said in a press release. To which everyone read the press release, then looked at that logo and said, no, kind of looks like a gas station sign or there's nothing like a five-year-old could have done that and not even done it with much effort. In fact, the teacher would have said, try harder, do it again. It didn't work out. The logo was the target of a culture war, which even caught the ire of the White House, and it dragged down the stock. That is the main underlying part of that sentence. It dragged it down, and visits to Cracker Barrel were even affected. A few days later, Cracker Barrel backtracked and reverted back to its previous logo, and the company Profit that came up with this brilliant idea was also assisting with the restaurant's redesigns. Those were suspended after the rollout of only four of these new places, four of them. And Cracker Barrel has 660 locations altogether, but only four were affected. The panned refresh removed the traditional dark woods and many of the trademark tchotchkes that line the walls, and in their place, they installed a more modern decor with a mostly white interior. How boring. Sounds like something you would see if you were going to, maybe, I want to go to that cool place. They serve that boba tea. It's all streamlined and white inside, and you could eat off the floor. But that's not Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel is all kinds of what's it called, the chicken fried steak, which is very confusing because is it a chicken, but you're frying it like a chicken, but it's a steak. Well, traffic dropped 8% in the month after the chain changed its logo. They are expecting continued decline in visits in the upcoming months, even though they made all these changes back to what they used to be. But they must have made the changes in the first place because of problems they were having. They weren't getting enough people coming in. And we'll talk about the problems that the restaurants are having in this podcast. But first, we must go inside the restaurant that I have, that the wonderful podcast players will be at, that the Cafe Anyway characters will show up, and we'll have a great time with all the cool people that come to Cafe Anyway. Let me get the door for you. Cafe Anyway. Welcome to Cafe Anyway.
It's Mike's Daddy Podcast.
Episode 3176, 3176, and Mike Matthews broadcasting from Cafe Anyway.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopica. And Mike has got himself a boom for his mic. It's a boom kind of apparatus. And now I can do this, and my podcast will enter the stratosphere. So excited about that.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Yes, and it's episode 3176, 3176. We had
Mike's
an absolute
daily
blast with lovely lady friend
podcast,
who was on the last podcast.
Yeah!
That was called Cobblers. And we had Shelly Shuhart stop by, Floyd the floorman, and John Deere the engineer, and had some wild and crazy Steve Martin-esque type conversations. And oh, we covered a lot of ground on that show. So if you want to hear it, you can go to mikesdailypodcast.com and anywhere else you find your podcasts, even on YouTube. And the one thing with this mic thing is it doesn't want to, it points wherever it wants to point. So I'm having to, okay, there we go. It's pointing there. Now it's pointing in my face. Whereas before the microphone was pointing somewhere in my ear area. And last I saw, my ear didn't talk. It's the mouth that talked. The ear figured out what my mouth was saying. And sometimes was like, that's not cool. $1 million isn't cool. $1 billion isn't cool. The company's board proposed an unprecedented $1 trillion pay package for Elon Musk. Tesla, which once held more than 80% of the electric vehicle market in the U.S., accounted for just 38%, dropped from 80 down to 38% in August of this year.
And here's today's podcast picture.
But they're constantly, oh, the next big thing, they're debuting the next big thing, and then And they're doing the, like, I guess kind of what, the teasing. That's the word I want to use, is teasing. And because he's got that X, I guess people seem to tune to that to see if, or watch it, to read it, to see what he's going to do. But that's, I don't have a Tesla. But I am constantly being passed by Teslas as I'm driving on Mission Boulevard. The late great Basil the Boxer there. Now, he was never in a Tesla, but he was in my wonderful Saturn View, and we would drive all over the place. Saturn Views no longer exist. Oh, there's some driving around on the highways up and down your street, but possibly they will all be extinct in a matter of years, and you'll just see them at car shows now and then. But the podcast pictures of some wonderful apples. I've been growing a bunch of apples. We were talking about that lovely lady friend and I on the last podcast, and there's a bunch, and I got this cool podcast picture of them. See it at mikesdailypodcast.com. They just suddenly appeared one day, these apples. They were volunteers and showed up, and I've been making apple cobbler. That's the name of the last podcast, was Cobblers. And I've been making lots of smoothies with them. But you freeze them first. You got to chop them up, get all the seeds and everything out, and then freeze them. And it's amazing. You can make some really delicious smoothies that are very, very good for you because you're eating something that grew in your backyard. So,
the word of dog.
From what I have heard, that possibly has some anti... it'll help you with allergies, is what I'm saying. The late great Basil the Boxer, there with his word of dog for today. Did you get it? I think it was ruff or something to that effect. Bark today if you can. It helps release aggression. Maybe don't bark in someone's face, though. That's not a good thing. Maybe just bark when you're off to, you know, no one else around. Maybe while you're doing a podcast. Can you make the sound of a goat? Well, goat landscaping, that's gotten big. Renting goats to clear the weeds and trim the hedges is a growing trend. We usually get a bunch of goats on the hillsides here in Podcastro Valley in the month of June and July. There's all this dead grass that they eat, and they love it. Whoa. And they leave little presents.
Mike's Matthewsment Park.
Oh, yeah. It's a Matthewsment Park of fascinating.
The front panel will close automatically. Facts. Please remain seated at all times.
That is what they leave, and then that helps the soil, their little droppings. It gives nitrous oxide to the soil, I think is what it is. And that helps the soil grow more grass for next year when they're going to eat that grass, etc. But renting goats to clear weeds and trim hedges is a growing trend, offering a cost-effective and eco-friendly alternative to traditional landscaping. Some goat rental companies have revenues of up to $600,000 per year. And a lot of their clients include the HOAs, the House of Apples. No, HOA is Housing Authority. And municipalities is what it stands for. Or other municipalities. I know the municipalities that are around the Bay Area definitely employ them. And Homeowners Association. I was getting hung up on houses. What about cheerleaders? The NFL cheerleaders make next to nothing. Did you know that? Except in San Francisco. In the Bay Area, they usually make $150 per game. Yep, $150. And then if they do a public appearance, they can make up to $75. So that comes out to about $22,500 a year. A little over $20,000. And the 49ers, though, they are the outlier. The Gold Rush girls of the 49ers, they make, oh, wow, like five times that, $102,830 annually. As we go outside a cafe anyway, where we bring you Mike's Daily Podcast somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Maritopica, broadcasting from Cafe Anyway. You know what else can get you a lot of money? Portable toilets. They can make you flush with cash.
Anyway.
Cafe Anyway. Portable toilets were a guess how much they were making last year? $2.8 billion. It's a $2.8 billion per year market. At least it was last year. The U.S.-based portable toilet market will exceed $5 billion by 2030 in just 5 years, a little less than 5 years. Hey, everywhere I go, I see portable toilets. And now people are renting them. And whenever they see it, like a encampment for the unhoused.
Mike's out of left field. Yes, recording.
Slightly out of left field, I would say.
Recording everything. Captures actions that will never again be.
To point out that where there are encampments, people will rent one of these porta potties and leave it there for them as sort of a way to help them out. And I don't know if they're actually paying to make sure that those are cleaned out, hopefully, but. And then whenever there's any kind of construction anywhere at anyone's home, I see them. There was a house just up the street that they spent years working on the front yard, and they kept a porta potty in the front yard while this company, this contractor, worked out there. I guess the contractor wanted it for their workers. So every day there was this porta potty. It would get cleaned. The big truck would come by to do it, make a lot of noise that woke everyone up early on a Sunday or Saturday, and then that goes on and on for several months, and it lasted a couple of years.
And now we return you to our regularly scheduled program with Mike Matthews.
Is that what this is? Okay, look who is here. Hi, Mike. It's Benita the Rodeo Queen. How's y'all doing? I brought my horse Lily.
It's a disgruntled fiddle player, tell you what.
What?
So you got this cool little wing ding thing that's holding up your microphone there that's like kind of like a, what they call it, a boom?
It's a boom, yeah, because when it hits you in the head, it makes that noise. Isn't that something that they use with sailboats, too? The sailboats holds the sail out. It's a boom.
I wouldn't know that. I never go sailing. I just hang out every day with the lovely Benita, the rodeo queen, and the horse Nelly, and we have a great time. And then we go see you sometimes, and that makes it not such a great time. But thanks for letting us stop by, Mike. Tell you what.
What?
A fine article.
That was a fine article.
Article.
That article we were discussing about the toilets or the cheerleaders or the goats. Or maybe it was Tesla. I don't know. Something. It was all fine articles that we covered there. Look who else is here.
Hello, Mike. I make delicious root beer. Have some right now. Oh, boy.
You know, Brewmaster, the thing is, I am very thirsty and I could go for one of these right now. Mmm. Oh, yes. Very good. How are things in the basement?
Yeah, that's where I have my root beer. I make the root beer all the time and I have no help. And I hope you drink the root beer right now. Oh, boy.
It's such a happy, jolly elf, the Brewmaster. Thank you, Brewmaster. Well, that's pretty much the end of the show today. Did we have any other interesting thing to cover? Nope. Any other fascinating material at all? Perhaps a fascinating material project?
The Fascinating Material Project.
The FM Project.
Oh. All right. Well, this is kind of fascinating. Fast food and sit-down restaurants are struggling. Most of the major players in the industry are in the red so far this year, and companies like Sweetgreen, oh, I think they're long gone. They certainly left the Bay Area quite a while ago. So, yeah, definitely COVID was the cause of that, because I think those are the places where you go and you have as much salad as you want. And, ooh, you can have a slice of pizza, too. Woo! Shake Shack, Cava Group, Chipotle Mexican Grill, Wendy's, Bloomin' Brands, I think they're the ones with the Outback Steakhouse, and Jack in the Box, they are all down Dudgel Dibbits. Dudgel Dibbits. Or Double Dibbits. Or Double Dibbits? Double Digits is what I wanted to say. And that would be something Gene Wilder would say, strike that, reverse it. The industry is facing a number of different issues. The GLP-1 drugs are part of the problem. Inflation's been a bigger problem. A shortage of service workers post-pandemic forced labor costs higher in recent years. And raw material costs, too, have also hurt restaurants as the cost of everything from avocados to eggs and beef climbed. So restaurants' prices are rising. And restaurants, they are notorious for this one thing. When they raise prices, if the economy gets better and the cost of whatever it was that they were having to raise the prices for goes down, they keep the prices up and keep it in. Keep it up. Nothing ever goes down in the restaurant industry. Customers have grown increasingly weary of paying the higher prices, particularly at fast food restaurants. Why am I paying at a fast food place these kind of prices when I could go and sit down at a nice? Because there's definitely it is worth the price tag to have nice ambiance. That's for sure. So people are definitely my word today is definitely, it seems. Definitely. I'm using that a lot today. That's very Rain Man of me, but both quick service, fast food, and casual sit-down restaurants saw negative traffic in the summertime, so that was a fascinating article, wasn't it? Okay, that's the end of the show. If you would like to call in and contribute in any way, maybe tell me about some fantastic restaurant that you love,
woo!
Perhaps Cafe Anyway, because it's a wonderful adventure to go there.
You will travel into the incredible universe.
An incredible universe known as Cafe Anyway. Here's the number to call.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
And with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame.
Hey, kids.
Uh-oh.
It's me.
That's not A-Frame.
Do-Re-Me the Clown.
That's who that is. Do-Re-Me the Clown. But with all things having to do with Mike's Daily Podcast.
We love you, Mike.
We go to the mainframe. Thank you. And hear from A-Frame. Thank you so much for listening.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.